Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 is on page number 47 of the Black Pew Bible. Exodus 4, page number 47 in the Black Pew Bible. Hopefully you recall the five things that I have encouraged you to do with God's Word. We are to read the Bible, and I hope that you distinguish between reading and studying the Bible, which is the second thing. We need to read the Bible, study the Bible. We need to meditate on the Scripture is the third thing. We need to memorize God's Word, which is the fourth thing. And after doing all of that, the fifth thing is we give it away. We give away God's Word to others. But as we read our Bibles, it is a bit interesting to note that on the vast majority of pages, there aren't any miracles, signs, wonders, or supernatural acts. As a matter of fact, we only find miracles performed by God using human instruments in three epochs of human history. Let me give those to you. The first one is Moses and Joshua. The second one is Elijah and Elisha. And the third one is Jesus and the apostles. What is a miracle? A sign or a wonder? Well, one definition is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable using natural or scientific laws. A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable using natural or scientific laws and is therefore acknowledged to be the work of a divine agency. We know that divine agency is the Lord, the Creator God, and therefore He is supernatural and He can overcome natural and scientific laws. What's the purpose of miracles? To demonstrate God's power, to reveal God's glory. And interestingly enough, miracles are directed to a targeted audience so that the audience will acknowledge the Lord and humble themselves before Him. So we're going to begin this morning by looking at the miraculous. And I'm going to point out a couple of things, and then you can go and investigate these on your own in your personal Bible study or as a family. Certainly encourage you to do that. And let's begin with Moses and Joshua and Exodus chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" We're going to go back to chapter 3 in just a second to see the context here. "But the Lord said to Moses, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.'" You don't catch snakes by the tail. But that's what God said. Isn't that interesting? That's a natural law and a scientific law. Don't catch snakes by the tail. "But Moses put out his hand and caught it and became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you.' Again, the Lord said to him, 'Put your hand inside your cloak.' And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, 'Put your hand back inside your cloak.' So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign." If they, who's the they? The target audience. The they is Israel. He said that earlier. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Now go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 13. This is the burning bush. You can look back the heading for chapter 3, the burning bush. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. The target audience was Israel. Did the Egyptians see? Yes. Were they the target audience? No. And we think about the plagues. We think about the parting of the Red Sea. We think about the stopping of the Jordan by Joshua. We think about water in the desert, manna, quail, much more. Now turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, and you will find 1 Kings 18 on page number 300. 1 Kings 18 on page 300, and we're going to look at Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha existed at a period of time in Israel's history when they basically were denying the Lord. This is right after the time of the judges. This is the introduction of kings, Saul, David, so forth. And now there are kings in Israel and Judah who are not following the way of the Lord. They are not leading the people in righteousness. And God brings Elijah and Elisha onto the scene. Look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 20. So Ahab, who was the king of Israel, sent all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. So we have part of the audience, the king of Israel, people of Israel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Interesting response. You can say lack of response, but it's a response. The response communicates volumes. Now, if you glance at what happens next, Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, hey, listen, you guys build an altar. Build an altar to Baal. Build the altar, put wood on it, put a sacrifice on it, and then you pray to Baal and see if he responds. And if he does, then Baal is God, and let's all follow him. So that's what they do. And there are all sorts of things that go on, and the explanation is there, and then they're done. And Elijah builds an altar. He puts the stones on top of each other, and he digs a trench around it. He puts firewood on it. He puts the sacrifice on it, and he says, pour some water on it. Barrels of water. Pour some more water on it. Barrels of water, and then Elijah prays. Look at verse 36. And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and that's important. You are God and I am your representative. Because it is only as a representative of God that Elijah could do this. And that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God. And that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. The fire consumed the wood. The fire consumed the stones. The fire consumed the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Three things. God was exalted. Elijah was confirmed as God's servant. And the specific targeted audience, Israel, saw all of that. Now please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 is on page number 861 of the Black Pew Bible. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to put on the screen a couple of verses from John chapter 20. Have used these verses the last couple of weeks. And of course, when we went through the Gospel of John, these are the key verses. The key verses for John. Now, Jesus did many other signs. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these signs are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And when I've used these verses, I've taken you to John chapter 5, where Jesus heals the paralyzed man. And I love that passage of scripture. But now we're going to go to Luke and see what Luke has to say about some of the amazing things that Jesus did. But before we get to Luke chapter 5, I want to ask you a question. We know a little bit about John the Baptizer and his parents. We know that they were elderly, past childbearing years. Was Elizabeth's pregnancy a miracle? Can it be explained naturally by science? What about Mary's pregnancy? Was Mary's pregnancy natural or supernatural? Well, look at Luke chapter 5. Say, aren't you going to tell us the answer? No. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to look for the audience, the targeted audience. On one of those days, as he, Jesus, was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. There's part of the audience. Pharisees and teachers who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, there's another part of the audience. We have the Pharisees and teachers. We have the four men, we have the man on the mat, and we have the crowd. So three parts to the audience. They went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Who's the target audience? The man. Did the crowd see and hear? Yes. Did the Pharisees and teachers see and hear? Yes. Who's the target audience? The man. Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. You got it right. And you didn't even know you got it right. Who can forgive sins except God? Exactly. But they missed it. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all. And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. You think? This is amazing. This is amazing. So you have the religious leaders, verse 21. You have the paralyzed man, verse 18. You have verse 26, everyone else. They all benefited from what they saw and heard, but the man, his sins were forgiven. He got up and he walked. And that's an important connection. What was Jesus' intent? And what about the apostles? What was the apostles' intent? Well, three things. Now, keep your finger in Luke. We're coming back to Luke chapter 9 in just a minute. We're not going anywhere else, but it's going to be a minute. We're going to look at Luke chapter 9. But first of all, Jesus and the apostles were revealing the supremacy of Christ. They were revealing the supremacy of Christ. We see this in Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, or recent days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Jesus is pointed out as the creator. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, this verse is important for a couple of reasons. Power, the last word there, the radiance of the glory of God. This is significant to what we're looking at, but it goes on. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, verse 3 reminds me of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. But look again at Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now that distribution is important. That's what we're thinking about this morning. And notice there, signs, wonders, various miracles, they are gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we've been emphasizing the last couple of weeks, and they are distributed according to his will. But look at the verse 3, those who heard. Who are the those who heard. Who heard? Well, if you look at the context, it's the prophets and it's the apostles. That's who the author of Hebrews is talking about. The prophets and the apostles, the authors of Scripture. So we have Old Testament prophets who wrote God's word for us. And in the New Testament, we have apostles who wrote God's word for us and their representatives. We'll get to the representatives in just a minute. Who are the representatives? Guys like Dr. Luke, Mark, Jude. We know this from Ephesians. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And what is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Here specifically, Paul is talking about the church of Jesus Christ. The church, us, but not just us, the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we are built by the Word of God, written by the prophets and the apostles. The church. And how were the apostles the foundation of the church? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works performed by whom? The apostles. Look at Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Well, there's a third thing here. Why were Jesus and the 12 performing miraculous signs? To prove who Jesus was. To establish the church. So that the canon of Scripture could be complete. And that's what we saw when we worked our way through 2 Peter some time ago, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God chose human instruments to record the Word of God for us. This was God's choice through His Spirit, God's work through His Spirit, as we know from 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. So now let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 9. And the 12 apostles. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there and from there depart. Stay there and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They were to preach and heal. Preach, cast out demons. Now let's just think for a minute about the 12. Do some mental math. We have 12 minus Judas plus Matthias equals 12. Then we have Paul, who is an apostle born out of due time. So here we have the apostles. course, Paul wasn't in Luke that we know of. But there's more. Look at chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." These 72 were to do the same job that John the Baptizer had. Prepare the way. They're supposed to go into every town, supposed to preach, heal, cast out demons, not for themselves, but to prepare the way for Christ. So skip down to verse 8. "Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we will wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" Here we see delegated authority. We see Jesus and the 12. Jesus and Paul. Jesus and the 72. Delegated authority, go in his name, do the works to prove that Jesus is who he said he is. Do we see delegated authority in the book of Acts? We do. Guys like Philip, Stephen. But do we see delegated authority in the New Testament books? We do. We see James, Jude, Dr. Luke, Mark, all delegated authority, delegated by God for a specific purpose. So now let's finally get to investigating some spiritual gifts. And when we turn to Scripture, we recognize that in the New Testament, there are four primary places where spiritual gifts are listed. And here they are. Write these down. Four primary places we see gifts, spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Two places in 1 Corinthians 12. Our text, verses 4 through 11, and beginning in verse 28. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, these are easy to remember. And then the other ones are Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, and I'm going to put an asterisk next to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and go back to something I've repeated before, and it's this. 1 Corinthians was written about 20 years after Pentecost. Smack dab in the middle of the book of Acts, chronologically. The other ones, Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Peter, were written at the end of the apostolic period. So 1 Corinthians 12 is the only place that mentions sign gifts. We don't see them in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, or 1 Peter 4. You have to ask, why? Or why not? So secondly, or B on your outline, next note that spiritual gifts can be divided into three categories. Spiritual gifts can be divided into three categories. The first one is speaking gifts, like teaching or exhortation, and we're going to look at a couple of speaking gifts this morning. The second one is serving gifts, gifts like helps or hospitality or administration. And the third gift, Our third category are sign gifts. And these are healing, miracles, and languages. Now, this morning, one of the men in our church asked me, hey, any stimulating words in your note to the church in the ledger today? So, you know, I put a little thing in there from Don's desk. And if you haven't read the little note from Don's desk, how many of you have read it? Okay, some of you. You're going to get the next part, the rest of you. Whew. So go read my little note in the ledger today. Because when I was at my mom's a couple of weeks ago, they live about 150 miles from Cape Canaveral. They live in the third story of an apartment building. And they have windows that faced northeast. And two times while I was at my mom's this last time, we saw rockets launch from Cape Canaveral. You can see them. It's 150 miles away. But you can see them. And you know what we saw? The booster rockets fell off. That's amazing. My mom goes crazy over this stuff. You know, it wasn't, you know, are you going to get up for the space launch? She said, what time are you going to get up for the space launch? We saw the boosters fall off. The sign gifts are like those boosters. They get you off the ground. They get you out of Earth's atmosphere, and they fall away. And sign gifts are like that. They're not needed anymore. Because we have the Church of Jesus Christ, and we have a completed Word of God. So let's look at the gifts mentioned in our text. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. You see there in verse 8, the utterance of wisdom is a gift. This is obviously a speaking gift. The word translated utterance is a word you know. It's the Greek word logos, which means word. So we have a word of wisdom. This sounds like a grandpa gift. This sounds like a grandpa speaking to his children, a grandma speaking to her grandchildren. This wisdom, this word of wisdom, is connected back to Proverbs, where wisdom combines with divine insight and skillful living. This is the Christ follower, me, the Christ follower, you, seeing life from a divine perspective. We live in a selfish world that has conditioned us to think that my time is my own, my intellect is my own, my money is my own. But the divine perspective is to see that everything that I have has been given me by God, and I'm to use it for His glory. This is the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. And the Lord has given me all of this so that I can see life from His perspective and I can live for God's glory. So Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I just have to stop here and say, this verse was not in the PowerPoint in the first service. It's in my notes. I clicked on the slide and it was blank. And I thought, okay, I double-clicked, whatever, and then I start going backwards and forwards and whatever. I asked Abby in the back. Now, Noah must have put this on up of his own initiative because I didn't click. But anyway, I just want to point this out because between services, this verse got added to the PowerPoint, and I didn't do it. And you can be thankful that I didn't even try. But praise the Lord, there are people who know how to do this stuff. And Abby came up to me after the first service and said, listen, Proverbs 1:7 isn't in the slideshow, but Barb's adding it right now. Two great servants to come and tell me, Listen, dummy, you didn't put it in your notes. And someone who's adding it, thank you. Thank you for people who know how to do this stuff. I don't. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is, my son, when sinners entice you, don't consent. Wisdom is a soft answer. Soft answer turns away wrath. The situation, things are going to get tense. Keep your cool, keep your tongue. Or next time, keep your cool, keep your tongue. Proverbs speaks to us about laziness, about money, about immoral people. And a word of wisdom is to come alongside someone like a grandma and grandpa and to say, listen, this is the fear of the Lord. This is how we live. This is how we conduct ourselves. This is what we do. This is what we say. This is the practical application of the Word of God to not only my life, but now I'm coming alongside you, Cracker Barrel restaurant rocking chairs, and I'm telling you, this is how we conduct ourselves. This is me walking down the path of life, coming up alongside you, putting my arm around you, and saying, here's divine wisdom. This is how we live. Where does this show up in the church? Well, I think one primary area that it shows up in the church is biblical counseling. And praise the Lord for people at Lakes who have submitted themselves to training to become a biblical counselor, or people who are in the process of becoming a counselor, and you say, whew, I'm off the hook because I'm not a biblical counselor. No, this is something that all of us should do, especially if we're parents, because Deuteronomy chapter 6 is very explicit and says, fathers, whether your kids are getting up in the morning or going to bed at night or everything in between, you tell them. You tell them who the Lord is. You tell them what the Lord expects of us, how we live, how we conduct ourselves. All of us, whether we're parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles or find ourselves in a church like Lakes Bible Church, we are encouraging people, this is how we live. This is what we do. This is how we think. This is the old to the young, the mature to the immature, the experienced to the inexperienced. This is me living my life, fearing the Lord as my Lord and Savior, and me coming along someone else and bringing them with me. We can call this mentorship. The second one is the utterance of knowledge or the word of knowledge. This is also in verse 8. And you can say, what's the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge? Good question. I personally think it's a level, it's about depth. This is referring to foundational principles of the Bible or basic Bible knowledge. Here's what the Bible says. This is the accumulation of knowledge. Who the Lord is, what He expects of us. Ephesians 4 says we're to speak truth to our neighbor. This is me saying to anyone, you saying to me, the Bible says. This is teaching you foundational Bible truths. basic Bible truths we need to walk a worthy walk. We would maybe call this discipleship on an entry level, so to speak. God's goal for me is to walk a worthy walk, Ephesians 4:1 and Ephesians 5:1. God's goal for you is that you walk a worthy walk. This is us speaking to each other. Certainly this would happen in a Sunday school class or a Bible study, that we're sharing with each other basic Bible truths. God's objective for us, 2 Peter 3:18, to be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm giving you the Word of God. This isn't just God's desire for us. This is God's desire for us to care about one another. When we first moved to Walled Lake 30 years ago, we had a lease option on a house in Commerce, and we lived there till, 6 months or so. And one evening, it's getting dark, it's August, cleaning up toys in the yard. The boys had gone in to get baths, cleaning up toys in the yard, putting things away in the garage. And the phone rings, and Ann says, "Don, it's so-and-so." So the phone, some of you won't know what I'm saying. Others of you will chuckle. The phone had a long cord. So I'm standing in the garage talking to this guy who says to me, "What's tithing?" And I said, "Tithing?" He said, "Yeah, tithing. What's tithing?" I said, "You mean tithing?" And he said, "Tithing, tithing, I don't care. What is it?" And I said, "Listen, how about tomorrow night, Sunday night, church, let's talk about it out loud." "Great, sure, fine." So the next Sunday night, we talked about tithing. Basic Bible knowledge. What does the Bible say we do with our money? We honor the Lord with our first fruits. What does the Bible say we do with our money? Well, we give some to the King. We take care of our obligations, our debts. We put some away for a rainy day. And if there's anything left, we have fun. Basic Bible knowledge. Now, sometimes the application of that basic Bible knowledge may be a word of wisdom. Basic Bible knowledge. Let's go to the third gift mentioned here. It's in verse 9. It's the gift of faith. And you can say, "Don't we all have faith?" Well, yes, because Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." This is Brandon's message from a month ago. We have saving grace and living grace. This is the grace we live by day by day. And we have saving faith, and we have faith that we live by day. We know that we cannot be saved without faith. So that's not what this is. The faith in 1 Corinthians 12 is a confidence, a conviction that God is God and I can trust Him no matter what. You know that during times of crisis, some people fall apart. An accident happens, poor health happens, we lose our job happens, and some people fall apart. All of a sudden, they seem to have forgotten that God is God and that He's sitting on a throne. Some people act as though God is not huge, and somehow God doesn't have a plan for them. Some people fall apart, but other people rise and say, I don't know what's going on, but God's got this. Somehow he is going to get us through. Somehow he is going to glorify his name. During the building of this building, in the construction of this building, back then we didn't have elders in our church. We had deacons, and then we formed a building committee. And the deacons and the building committee had talked and said, listen, as much as possible, let's protect Don from dealing with the building so that he can focus on prayer and study and preaching of God's word. And it was a tremendous blessing. I think it was a blessing to me. I know it was a blessing to me, and I think it was a blessing to the church. But there was a lot going on. From the time we knew we had to build until we paid off the mortgage just a couple years ago, there was a lot going on. Building plans, contractors, fundraising, all sorts of things going on. But there were two guys who were part of the building committee. Neither one of them was a deacon. But there were two guys who had incredible faith. And they communicated that to the church. God can do this. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And he will do it. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful with our finances and giving. We need to be faithful in giving our time and energy when needed towards the building of this and whatever. And they had great confidence in the Lord. The Lord can do this. And their words and actions rallied us to keep our eyes on the prize, to trust the Lord. We were encouraged by their faith. They came alongside us individually. They came alongside the church as a whole. God can do this. Look and see what the Lord has done. We're out of time before we got to the one you were really waiting for. Let me say this in conclusion. Rather than being consumed with finding your gift, speak the truth in love. Just start talking. Talk to one another. Encourage one another. See what God is doing. Look what God can do. Look what the Lord has done in my life. Speak wisdom, speak knowledge. Rather than being consumed with finding your gift, serve. Serve. Ann and I just happened to get here first this morning, but Brandon was right behind us. I got into my office, and I'm not sure how many other people came while I was getting into my office and whatever, but there was somebody who was walking up to the church, and I saw them out the window, and so I assumed they were coming into the church, and I'm sure that was their intent. But then all of a sudden, this guy went back, started walking away from the church. I thought, wonder what he's doing. So I watched. And you know what this guy did? I don't know what he had in his hand. But this guy got some salt and went and put it on a patch of ice out here in front of the doors. Do you know what his spiritual gift is? He has the gift of spreading salt. Now, is that his spiritual gift? sure. You know why? Because whatever our hand finds to do, we do it with all of our might. But then he came in and he served us on the praise team. Some mornings where I sit, and the sound people tell me it's because I sit where I sit, but most mornings I can't hear the drums. I can't hear them at all. Depending upon the music and how it happens, I can hear a stick hitting the pad, but there's no drum sound. This morning, second service, drums were excellent. I loved it. I could hear not every strike, but I heard a lot of them. And so I found myself stopping a couple times and just listening to the drums. Nobody has the spiritual gift of playing the drums. But isn't it exciting that somebody serves us by playing the drums? But I can't talk. Neither could Moses. And somehow it worked out. But I can't do salt. Okay, do something else. Don't worry about what your gift is. Just open your mouth and then do something to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our understanding and deliver us from an attitude that I'm going to wait till I find my gift or I'm better at it or whatever. Lord, work in our hearts, open our eyes, help us to find something that our hand can do. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.